Hello, you guys, and welcome back to another episode of Gym Ramble. I'm so excited to be here with you guys. It has been a little bit since I recorded my last podcast episode. The reason for that, honestly, is just because I was feeling a little bit burnt out with creativity, I guess, for lack of a better term. But honestly, just feeling a little bit burnt out in areas of life, including my own fitness journey. I'm probably going to be making a post on that soon on Instagram, but I'm feeling rejuvenated. I'm back and I'm feeling excited to start this podcast. We're going to be seeing how the camera footage turns out. This is the first time I'm actually filming the podcast episode. I might be uploading it onto YouTube. I'm definitely going to be cutting it up and putting clips out on the internet. So whether you're just listening to audio, whether you're listening to this on some sort of video format, hey, thank you for listening, and I'm excited for this episode. It's probably not going to be a super long one, but if you guys know me, you know I love to ramble. That is the name of the show, okay? But we're going to be doing a part two to an episode that I created earlier. I think it was at the beginning of December 2023. That was part one, titled What I Would Tell My Past Self. And this is going to be part two. These are going to be some hard truths. If you feel like you're doing everything right with eating healthy, working out, trying different diets, and things just are not clicking, you're not gaining muscle, you're not losing body fat, but you feel like you're putting in the work and you just don't feel like your ROI is matching your efforts, right? That's a really frustrating place to be in. And that was me for literally years, which is why I talk about it so frequently, because I understand the struggles and I understand the feeling of I'm already burning the candle at both ends. All of my free time is already spent thinking about my fitness goals and thinking about, am I eating the right thing? Am I eating enough? Should I be eating more? Should I be eating less? Should I be doing this? How do I not waste time? Like, all of that was consuming my brain for years, and I felt like I should have been further along in my journey than I was at that point, and that's frustrating, right? It's even more frustrating than feeling like you don't have any healthy habits, because at least you know the things you need to change, right? At least you know, hey, I could probably eat more vegetables, or hey, I could probably eat more protein, or hey, I could probably work out. But once you're doing all those things and you're still not seeing progress, then that's where it can be really difficult, because you're like, all right, am I the problem? Like, is my body the problem? Like, what's going on? So we're going to be chatting a little bit about that, because there were definitely things that I should have told myself earlier back in the day, or I wish I could have, to save myself a lot of time when it comes to seeing my body composition change. So we're going to get into that right now. So the first thing that I would tell myself is that being in a deficit would not make up for my lack of consistency. Okay, this is huge. Before I was really consistent with my macros and my training and my steps and my water, I would have these huge overeating and undereating cycles, right? I would undereat during the week and I would overeat on the weekends. I would say I was tracking my food, but really I was just haphazardly trying to hit a low intake. And if I would have a couple weeks of not being on, quote unquote, of not eating the super low intake that I had planned for myself, then I would not be consistent, right? Like, I was never consistent unless the goal was fat loss. And I kind of just had it in my mind that I didn't need to be consistent unless I was in a cut, and that kind of added pressure of, oh my gosh, I'm in a cut right now and stuff like that would just kind of force me and motivate me to be consistent. And if you're somebody who's working with a coach, this is probably something that you need to hear as well, because consistency isn't just magically curated once you're in a deficit. In fact, it's actually more difficult if you're in a cutting phase to gain consistency, because even if you're doing it, you know, the right way and you started your cut from a sustainable place, you're gonna have less food to play around with. Your energy is gonna be lower. So it's gonna be hard to muster up that discipline if you're eating less and you have to spend more time at the gym doing cardio and stuff like that, right? Like, that's just the name of the game. And I don't know about you, but I want to create the least amount of change the least amount of disruption to my life that yields the biggest result. So if you can get away with maximizing progress while just being consistent with what you're currently doing, do that first before jumping into a deficit. That was something that I wish I did earlier, was just start tracking what I was normally eating in a day, including the weekends, get the overall average, and then eat that consistently for a few weeks and see how my body responds. But no, I would just say, okay, I'm going to slash calories during the week and then overeat on the weekends. And it kind of turned into something where I would undereat during the week because I knew I was going to overeat on the weekends. So I was like, well, hopefully on average, I'll still be in a deficit for the week if I just really don't eat a lot of food. This was just like not good thinking, because then I didn't have any energy during the week, and then my step count was lower and my intensity was down in the gym and my digestion sucked and my energy sucked. And then I would just overeat so much more on the weekend than I would have if I would have just eaten a decent amount of food all 7 days of the week. Like, it was just really difficult for me to grasp that concept because I was so deep into the yo-yo dieting cycle that I really didn't know what I didn't know, right? Like, I didn't understand how bad my cravings were. I didn't understand how out of whack my hunger and satiety cues were. I didn't understand how volatile my energy levels were and how bad my digestion was because I had been doing that for so long. So I couldn't gauge it against anything else because that was really all that I had felt up until that point. And so that would definitely be the first thing that I tell myself, is that being in a deficit does not make up for my lack of consistency, okay? The second thing that I would tell myself, trying to gain muscle and lose body fat at the same time is holding me back, okay? Listen, can you gain muscle and lose body fat at the same time? Yes, you can. But that was my excuse to continue under eating. Because up until that point, I had been trying to maintain or trying to lose weight, excuse me, on like 12 to 1400 calories a day. Again, I would under eat during the week and I would overeat on the weekends. So that was just my normal. And that was what I was trying to do day in and day out. So if somebody is telling me, oh, in order to body recomp, in order to gain muscle and lose body fat at the same time, what you have to do is you have to eat more protein, you have to lift weights, and you have to just eat at maintenance or a little bit below maintenance. Okay, great. The problem was I had been crash dieting for so long on and off that I thought my maintenance was like 1400 calories a day. So I had no idea of what even maintenance was. All I knew was, okay, I'm not really losing weight at this really low intake, so I guess this is my maintenance. And it was just kind of an excuse for me to not face the fear that I had around eating more, around reverse dieting, around doing the thing that I knew I needed to do to actually get out of this cycle that I was in and start building muscle and start getting to a place where I could start a cut eventually down the road and actually see progress. But I didn't want to face that because that would mean, hey, I got to spend time out of a cut. Like actually eating more food and spending time, you know, doing the hard thing and probably not having the goal be fat loss for quite some time, even though I did have body fat that I wanted to lose. And that was a hard realization for me, because if you've already spent so much time going down the road of feeling like you want to lose body fat and doing all the fad diets, it's really hard to kind of abandon what you've been trying to do for so long. Even if in the back of your head, you know, all right, I got to do this for a little bit. I got to switch gears for a little bit. I got to undo some of the, you know, metabolic and hormonal downregulation that I've been doing the last few months, if not years, of this yo-yo dieting. But that was difficult for me to grasp. So instead of actually facing that challenge, I kind of just put a Band-Aid over it and told myself that I was focusing on recomp. But that wasn't going to work for me because I had spent so much time yo-yo dieting that I didn't even really know what I should be doing or what maintenance was or what a good amount of protein was or anything, right? So yeah, I didn't recomp. I didn't do anything like that. Nothing happened. Nothing changed because I was still under eating. I still wasn't able to go to the gym with intensity, and I was still overeating every single weekend. All right, the third thing that I would tell myself is that there is always an excuse if you look for one. All right, there is always an excuse if you look for one, and you have to have a solution-oriented mindset when it comes to making a lifestyle change. All right, even if your excuses are valid, the minute that your excuses become your identity and become the reason why you can't progress, that is going to be why you stay in your comfort zone and why you stay stuck. Throughout my entire fitness journey, I could have clung on to the reason why it was difficult for me to adopt this lifestyle change, right? In college, I could have been like, oh my gosh, I'm in college, right? So I'm not going to worry about tracking my macros. Like, that's weird. I just want to party and stuff like that. I could have said, I have to eat the dorm food, or I don't have a full kitchen. I could have said, you know, when I was living at home, oh, my mom makes the meals, so I can't track accurately. When I was working at the office, I could have said, oh my gosh, the culture here is we order in lunch and dinner, so there's no way that I can stick to my nutrition goals. Or, hey, I'm expected to stay at the office late, so there's no way I can get in 10,000 steps, or there's no way I could go to the gym, or, you know, XYZ, right? There's always going to be different seasons of life that bring on different challenges. And if you feel like, oh, I can't do everything perfectly, so I'm going to do nothing, you're going to wake up one day, literally at 60 years old, and be like, what the heck? I just spent literally my entire life up until this point making excuses for why my health wasn't a priority to me. So you need to be able to control what you can. And that comes down to understanding what levers to pull and what to put your focus towards. So many people don't seek out help and don't seek out accountability and don't seek out a coach, don't seek out like any sort of sustainable plan, because they feel like it's gonna add more stress and be more time consuming. When in actuality, if you have already been thinking for years about diets, about nutrition, about am I doing enough? Should I be doing more? Should I be doing more cardio? Should I be doing this? Should I be taking this supplement? It's probably going to take away less stress and give you more time back, because it eliminates the need for you to focus on things that you don't need to be focusing on. For instance, I would spend so long going on runs just because I thought it was how I was going to burn more calories. Meanwhile, I had no control over my nutrition because I just thought, well, there's no way I could even track accurately, so why do it at all? When I could have been estimating my macros, not focused so heavily on cardio, and save that time, right? But in my mind, I was like, no, because the only time that I've ever seen progress in the past, for a short period of time, granted, was when I was, you know, doing all of this, and it took up all this time and energy, and I felt like crap, so why would I want to do that and call it a lifestyle change? It's like, well, you're kind of allowing your preconceived notions to dictate what it's going to look like in the future, but you have to understand that you have to do things differently in order to get different results. So having a solution-oriented mindset around, hey, what's the least amount of change that I can do in my day-to-day that's going to yield the biggest result? Thinking about that is important. And it's not about, oh my gosh, it's going to take forever for me to see change. It's about, hey, how can I get 1% better? What can I control, right? Because at the beginning, when you're making these changes, it is going to seem more time consuming because you're learning something new. But after a while, things are going to become more second nature, and then you can add on more habits and build from there. But as you're building these things, you're going to be more confident when it's time to add something else into your routine or build a new habit or break an old one or whatever, because you already have that track record of, okay, look how far I've come. Okay, so again, even if your excuses are valid, because I'm not going to sit here and say we all have the same 24 hours in a day. We don't. But I know that you're eating food, and I know that you're moving your body to some capacity, right? So let's do what we can to optimize those things, because you're already doing it. It's just about optimizing it a little bit more and still keeping in mind what's realistic for you and your schedule, right? But I needed to hear that because I would just have every excuse in the book, but the excuses would drive from things that didn't even make sense, right? Like my excuse was, well, I don't have enough time. Meanwhile, all of my time is spent stressing about how to lose weight. Like that was my Roman Empire, right? Like, girly, what are you doing? You know, like I could have saved time, energy, and actually gotten to my goals a lot quicker and felt better and had more energy to study more efficiently and give it and gotten back more time. You know, like it all snowballs. So thinking about that is super important. And understanding that having a growth mindset going into it, having a solution-oriented mindset, that is very, very important. And the last one I'm going to talk about today, like I said, this is a little bit of a shorter episode, but the last one I'm going to talk about today, the last thing that I wish I told myself, is that eating more food when you're hungry is not a reverse diet. Okay? Eating more food when you're hungry is not a reverse diet. A reverse diet is when you are, you know, it's the opposite of a diet, right? If you think about a dieting phase, you are lowering your food and raising your cardio. A reverse diet is when you are raising your food and lowering your cardio, okay, over a period of time. And it's done after a dieting phase is over, right? So I just ended my cut a few or like almost 2 months ago. So I'm doing a reverse diet back to my maintenance. But I bring up reverse dieting a lot because that was what I needed to do when I got out of the yo-yo dieting cycle and I was maintaining my weight at a fairly low intake. I hired my first coach, right? This is 2015, 16-ish timeframe. And we reverse dieted. Okay, so that was the first time that I had been consistent when the goal wasn't weight loss. And that was the first time that I had, with her guidance, actually gotten to a place where I was like, oh my gosh, I can eat more food and not gain a bunch of body fat like I was so scared of. Like, wow, this is great. I feel great. I'm strong for the first time. Like, I feel awesome. And then I did a cutting phase and my body responded well. Like, imagine that, right? But before I hired her, I had heard of reverse dieting and I was really scared of gaining too much body fat, right? We talked about if you've been spending so long having a goal, it's difficult to, quote, abandon that goal and feel like, oh, time to reverse diet. I'm giving up my goal of fat loss. But that's not the case because you're actually setting yourself up to be in a place where you can lose body fat and have your body be responsive. But I couldn't really see that full picture yet, right? So I wasted so much time trying to take myself through a quote reverse diet. But really what I was doing was I said, okay, instead of eating 1400 calories a day, which was my starting point, I'm gonna eat 1600 calories a day. But then anytime that I wasn't hungry, I would just undereat again and I would just eat more when I was hungry, but that's not a reverse diet because you have to remember if you've been dieting for a long period of time and your hormones and your metabolism have downregulated to what you're eating, your hunger and satiety cues are hormones, okay? Leptin and ghrelin. Like you cannot accurately read them. They're going to be downregulated. That's why you hear people say like, oh, I'm barely eating, but I'm not hungry. It's like, well, yeah, you've been under eating for quite some time. So it was silly of me to think that, oh, I'm going to just listen to my hunger cues and also reverse diet. But what I was doing is I was so scared of actually sticking to that higher intake and actually following through with the reverse diet that was my caveat to not go all in. It was like, oh, I'm not hungry, so today's gonna be a lower day, but tomorrow I'll see if I'm hungry again and so I can actually stick to my reverse diet. Did I get anywhere? Absolutely not. Absolutely not, because then there'd be a weekend where I would overeat and then I would say, okay, well, that was like higher than my reverse diet macros, so I'm just gonna go back to undereating again, right? Like it just continued because I didn't have the actual belief to go all in on what I knew I needed to do, even though I knew in the back of my head that was what I needed to get me out of the yo-yo dieting cycle, I still fell back into it because I just had this all or nothing mindset and I just had this fear that I was just gonna gain all of this body fat, but I also was at a standstill and I was gaining and losing the same 20 pounds over and over again. I just didn't see it that way, right? So that is the last thing on this list. Again, this is a quicker one, but I think if you are somebody who knows I'm under eating, I've been under eating, I'm not progressing in my physique, I've heard of this reverse diet thing, understand that it's going to come with the, you know, sometimes eating when you're not hungry, but over time your body will, you will gain those hunger cues back. Like you will, but you also have to recognize, and this is something that I had to learn too, is volume eating, right? Like don't eat super high volume all the time, especially if you're trying to eat more food. I had to understand and really reintroduce these foods that I had feared for so long because I thought they were too high calorie. But then once my food got raised, it's like, no girl, like you actually have to eat these things. Like it's good. You're craving them. Eat them. They fit into your day. They're still whole food sources. Like it's going to be okay, right? Like rice or even bagels or something like that, right? So it just is a learning process for sure. And we all go through it. If you are somebody who is in that right now, just know that you got this and you can do this. And you definitely don't have to do it alone. But if you are on this journey, the purpose of me making these podcasts titled like What I Would Tell My Past Self is just because you guys see me posting on Instagram, posting on TikTok, posting the podcast, talking about my fitness journey. But this was me circa 2015 and 2016. Like at this point, I was in the yo-yo dieting, the depths of yo-yo dieting. Like we're talking about downloading 1200 calorie meal plans. We're talking about buying the skinny fit tea. We're talking about, you know, scared to eat over 160 grams of carbs. Like all of this stuff that I just thought my body is not going to respond well, or I just need to lose body fat and then I'll figure it out. Like I told myself all of these things, and there is a reality where you're eating more food and you have a leaner physique and you feel strong and you feel good. But it's going to take specific action and direction to get there. Because if you have been dieting for quite some time, you can't just listen to your body and get to a place where, oh my gosh, all of a sudden I'm like toned and lean. Like it is going to take more direction, especially if you feel like, oh my gosh, I'm the type of person who is so all or nothing. You're going to have to direct your discipline and channel it correctly so you really get to that goal and you're able to set yourself up for a proper cutting phase, devise an exit strategy after the cut is over, and all of that jazz. But you guys got this. And if you guys need help, if you are seeking out that accountability and that direction, one-on-one coaching is open. I will go ahead and leave the link for you guys to apply down below. I'll also leave a link to my Instagram and a link to our team's Instagram, The Fit Breakthrough, so you guys can go ahead and see what we got going on and hopefully get inspired, get some tips, get some tricks. And as always, thank you for listening. I will catch you guys in the next episode.